a presentation on the Winter Overflow Task Force, their brief out, and then discuss and vote on the proposal. Thank you very much for everyone for attending. Thank you, Mayor Silverstein and Mayor Wilson, for the work on this. And I appreciate everybody's effort in this endeavor. So I'm going to turn the time over to Mayor Silverstein and the presentation.
Okay, thank you, Chair Dugan. And Mayor Wilson is attending, I think it's the National, the County, National Association of Counties Convention. So that's why I'm leading this off today. I want to thank the members of our like subcommittee that helped work on this process, and also particularly Catherine Fife and others who contributed to this document. Some of you, we had a conference of mayors, our little lunch club meeting in Alta earlier today, and so some of you have heard this, and you could doze off for part of it, I suppose, or you can let me know whether I do as good of a job or a worse job than what I did up there. But anyway, what we've done is we've put together a response plan for winter overflow, which is required by state statute. And we think and hope that we have satisfied the requirements and the elements of the state statute. The document that Ashley's sharing on the screen is the plan. And you know, one of the things that we hope to do today is to vote on this so that we can submit it to the state. It's due on August 1st. And so this is our opportunity to do that. There's also another issue that we're going to need to discuss and make some decisions on today, which is it's basically whether we want to agree to beef up the requirements for Code Blue beyond what the state statute actually requires us to do. And I'll get into that. But anyway, this document is in the format of what the state has suggested, how we submit it. And the first section really just talks about what we've done. We have engaged with the Coalition to End Homelessness, and they've participated with input on this. And then, you know, this is basically what we've come up with jointly. So what we have talked about before is that the estimation for the number of beds that are required in Salt Lake County for this winter is about 600 beds that we need to find for winter overflow. That's exclusive of the Code Blue stuff, which I'll talk about in a minute. So what we have done here at our methodology, we are aware that there are some resources that have come online since the coalition and we had our discussion about the number of beds. And specifically, there are likely going to be 165 beds from medically vulnerable population in Sandy. And thank you to Mayor Zoltansky, and hopefully the Sandy approvals will come through for that project in time, because we're counting on that. There also are 50 additional beds in the Volunteers of America Detox Center expansion. And as I mentioned to the mayors in Alta, that's a welcome addition, because one of the things that we saw last winter is that there is a need for an expanded detox. There's a population that needs that. So there are 50 beds there. So that's a total of 215 additional beds that weren't considered when the 600 number was arrived at. How we're getting to that, the 625 total is 65 beds offered by St. Vincent de Paul, which is will be a nighttime shelter. 175 beds by flexing the existing resource centers, and then 170 beds in a new facility that we've identified. I'm just going to thank Mayor Lang and West Valley City Council for being willing to help us with that. I'm reluctant to identify the address of the facility. Some of us know it, we've toured it, but in the interest of giving Mayor Lang a head start to do some public engagement and get ahead of any concerns in her community, we're going to hope without objection, we're not going to identify the location of that facility, but we've toured it, and And we're confident that it can handle 170 folks on a 24/7 basis. So those are that's our plan to meet the 600 bed requirement that we have. On page next page on 3 of 9 of this document, which hopefully you all have, we identify the service providers that will be working at each of these facilities. So the Road Home at St. Vincent de Paul, then the operators that work at the resource centers are identified there. On the temporary facility, we're planning on using SwitchPoint. We have sent a letter to SwitchPoint, trying to establish that relationship with them. And we got a response back from their board where they're somewhat tentative about the fact that they have some financial obligations with respect to the completion of their work at the point at Fair Park. And that's something that I want to talk about offline with Wayne and Tricia, but we're hoping that we can assist them in finding the missing funding that they're seeking. Basically, what they've said is if we have to go out and fundraise for the point, then we're less sanguine about taking on the responsibility of this additional shelter, but we do want to do it. So we're tentatively putting them in there, and then I pledge to work with others, Catherine Fife and others, to have a backup plan, but we don't have that in place right now. But that's our plan right now, is to use SwitchPoint and to finalize things with them. Then the other kinds of things we are working through, we'll coordinate with Shelter the Homeless to arrange for transportation and security and things like that, which we did last year. So, okay, then the next section of this is really just the assurances that the state requires us to give, and we are, I think, complying with those state requirements. And you guys can look at that, and if you have questions for me about that, that's in order. Not some of these things can be will actually be executed after we file this document, including some training of some staff to help run all of this, the transportation piece, and some other things that I'll talk about in a minute. We're also required to put together a budget, and we have some holes in that right now. We've been working to get numbers in from people. And Catherine, I don't know if you got anything from SwitchPoint yet. We're expecting to get something from SwitchPoint later today, but I don't know if we have it.
Haven't seen it come through yet, Mayor, okay. But any minute, yeah.
So we have an estimate of that. We have talked with them a little bit about it, but we need to firm up that number. But one of the concerns that we have when you add all these things up for just the overflow need, we're at a budget of almost $6.4 million. And one of the things that I'll just flag, we'll have further discussions with Wayne and Tricia and the state on this. The statute under which we're operating requires us to come up with a plan, but municipalities are not set up to fund this. And frankly, the county is in the business of providing some social services, but this is extraordinary. And I can just tell you from the municipality standpoint, none of us have put this kind of number in our budgets, nor do we have the ability to raise the shortfall here, which is somewhere between $3.5 and $4 million. So that's what we have to work on to make this work. But I think that's what we're expected to do is provide a budget, and maybe these numbers can be honed down, but this is what we have to date. We're happy to have further conversations with anybody about how these numbers were arrived at if anybody has any great ideas about trimming them down. I don't know if there are any questions about this so far. I'm ready to shift into our code blue stuff if nobody has any questions, and I'm not sure I can see everybody's hand either, so I don't know who can do that, but maybe I can shift to participants and see that.
Thanks, Mayor. If there are any questions, just go ahead and either try to raise your hand, or if we don't recognize your hand, just state your name and speak. Thanks.
Okay, I'm gonna head into the code blue part then, without objection. So the statute also requires us to have a plan, a code blue plan. And so code blue conditions are when that when the temperature basically goes below 15 degrees Fahrenheit. And, you know, there's a methodology for how we're going to determine that. And some of the questions we had at, among the mayors is how will we find out about that as municipalities? And the answer to that is that according to the statute, we'll be monitoring it, and the and Salt Lake County will send out an email to us to alert us when that happens. Okay, so in a code blue condition, we have to number one, come up with some additional beds. I'll talk about that in a minute. There also are some restrictions on not enforcing no camping ordinances and or cleaning up camps during prescribed periods of time. The reason for that is just so that people don't lose their, if they do go into a shelter, they don't lose their tent, their sleeping bag, their clothing in a campsite while they're gone. You know, it's not humane to take those things away from people, especially when it's cold. One of the things that I will say is that the coalition, and I've, you know, actually a number of unsheltered folks that I've actually talked with are really hoping that we would that we would agree to modify the code blue requirements to raise the temperature so that a code blue could be called at 25 degrees Fahrenheit rather than 15. And you know, as I said, if I said before, you know, like none of us would want to sleep outside when it's 25 degrees, let alone 15. Okay. However, there are some consequences to agreeing to raise that. The statute doesn't require that we do it. And this is something that the league negotiated pretty intensely with the, you know, the sponsor of the legislation at the time that it was being discussed last session. Because number one, arguably, and there's a lot of, I mean, it could be every night between January and February and in the Salt Lake Valley might be code blue if it's 25 degrees is the you know, the temperature that we use. And then there are, because of these other statutory restrictions about campsites and enforcement and what we are able to do, that might be problematic as well. So kind of what we talked about at the Conference of Mayors a few minutes ago was maybe we make the 25 degrees an aspirational thing, and there are some things I'm going to talk about in a minute about how we might be able to accommodate that a little bit better than, but maybe we don't actually, you know, commit to it absolutely because of some logistical and expense issues, and also the issues about what we can do and what we can't do when it's code blue conditions. Those kinds of options range from making more beds available and letting people come inside more, flexing the shelters more when it's 25 rather than 15, and not relaxing the other requirements. That's one kind of approach, or just leaving it at 15 and then doing our best on an aspirational basis to accommodate it. So let me talk about those beds and then the aspirational aspect of this and see if you guys, what you guys think. So what we've identified for code blue, we have to come up with 200 beds in a code blue situation. And so we have at basically we have 85 beds reserved at the First Methodist Church on 2nd and 2nd in Salt Lake City that's done a movie night situation before. They've indicated willingness to do that again and have that kind of capacity. The new temporary shelter could flex to 50 additional beds if necessary. And we've talked about having our resource centers flex to for an additional 70 beds. And that leaves us short about 65 beds or so off this target. And thanks to Mayor Stevenson from Midvale, this is really, I think, his idea, but I'm going to float it out there. We talked about it at the Conference of Mayors. There are some existing programs like Family Promise that use churches to house. That program is for unsheltered families, okay? But there's a network of congregations that are already engaged in this work where they rotate for a week at a time. They rotate housing people in their church facilities, and then they staff that with volunteers from their congregations. Mayor Daley actually suggested that we might even contact them for learning how to better do this. But what I'm going to suggest, and what Mayor Stevenson was talking about, is contacting our interfaith councils or congregations that we might be aware of and asking them for some help. And the idea would be to break this down so that no single congregation would be ever asked to house more than 10 or 15 people at a time. And we could probably, we only need this when there isn't any other capacity in the system, including at the resource centers, on normal populations. But if we do get to the situation where we need extra capacity, kind of come up with a schedule so that congregations would have some idea about, hey, you might be on call during this week, to provide, shelter for 10 or 15 people. And we might also actually even ask those congregations to help with some of the transportation and get some of our soccer mom and dads to drive their Suburbans to downtown to transport people to those locations to save some money and to, provide people some shelter and a meal. And I know Family Promise does things where they prepare meals for people. They, sometimes it's sandwiches, but I actually think from our experience in Mill Creek, seeing that our communities do want to help on some of this, that we might get some engagement there and some people are willing to help us and be able to accommodate that surplus demand in a way that spreads it out. And this is a thing that every community in our county could participate in. They don't have to be close in for this. But I'm hopeful that we can line this up. What I talked about at the Conference of Mayors meetings with our committee, we'll come up with a one pager that kind of sets out how this would work, and requirements so that each of us who have connections with the congregations in our communities could maybe talk to interfaith council people and invite them to help and give them some expectation about what it is, presented in a way where it's not totally burdensome to them, but also spread the response out to enable other people to help. And we would also be, the county would help us provide some training to people, to some of these volunteers, so that they have an idea about how to handle the situation. And we would have some kind of a hotline, situation or something like that to handle problems if they arise, so people can get some advice if they need it on a short basis, right? If they're housing some people and they have an issue. So that's the kind of idea we have to meet the Code Blue requirements. And, I'm just hoping we get some, that this kind of thing is amenable to people and we can handle it that way. Catherine, did I miss anything?
No, I think you covered it, Mayor. Yeah, thank you.
Okay. So I'm at this point, open this up to discussion. I think what we have to talk about what we're going to do about the Code Blue temperature, and we have to talk about whether this plan is something that the COG can vote on, or whether whether we have to go back to the drawing board or not. And if we have to, then obviously we need to have another meeting before August 1st, which will be fun.
Thank you very much, Mayor. Ashley, could you just drop the screen sharing? And we can kind of look at everyone's black tiles. I appreciate that, Mayor, and I appreciate all the work from the whole overflow. Let's just start off with the big picture. Any questions about the or discussion points that we want to make on the overall plan, and then we can go specifically back into the Code Blue. Mayor, I guess my first question is just on switch point side. Do they have a timeline when they would need to say yes or no? And the dates that you have in here as far as the implementation timeline, has that been vetted with switch point as far as we can meet those dates if we do agree?
So that they're okay with the timeline, I believe. In terms of nailing things down with them, that's going to require some additional conversations that I would like to have with Wayne and Tricia at least, and find out what can be available in terms of helping with the funding for the point, if anything. And if not, we need to also be making an inquiry about another operator.
Okay, thank you. And I noticed that Wayne's joined the meeting, so thank you for joining our meeting, Wayne.
Let me get.
I left you a long voicemail, Wayne, and you may not have been able to hear it yet, but I didn't want to put you on the spot in this meeting, but we do need to have a conversation on a couple of things about funding.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Okay. Go.
Do you want me to present, summarize those things again for you now, or?
Yeah, that'd be great.
Okay, so that the conversation that we've had with Carol and Switchpoint, you know, they asked us for a letter, you know, indicating that, you know, we were going to select them to operate the temporary shelter, and Mayor Wilson and I and our committee put together that letter and sent that to them. They had a board meeting night before last, I guess, and they. Carol and their board expressed a concern that they not become involved in too many projects at once. And she's concerned that she wants to finish up the point at Fair Park before she launches into something new. So she tells me that she has a shortfall of about $2 million on that. And I don't know anything about that other than she was looking for, you know, how can I meet that requirement? Can I get some help on that? That would make me comfortable, you know, absolutely committing to run this operation in West Valley. So I don't know if you can help with that. I don't know if you've had conversations with her. Like I said, I don't want to put you on the spot right now. We can talk about that offline. But that's the barrier of getting them to commit finally. To know that we can use them as an operator. And I know in my conversations with Carol that she wants to do it. I talked with her when I got that letter and I said, so what does this really mean? And it really means that they want to operate the shelter in West Valley, but they have this concern about just being overextended if they can't tie up their work at the point. That's one funding issue. Then the other thing is that when we did this budget, and there's some, you know, obviously this is our best job at this point, but we're looking at, you know, be able to do this whole plan at like almost $6.4 million. And that's about $3.5 to $4 million over what we were thinking that we would, you know, or what we know that we might have. And the question is, how do we meet that need? And the municipalities don't have we don't have either the means to do that, nor actually the obligation under the statute to fund that. So we got to solve that problem.
Right. So have you kind of determined then how much this do you think it's going to cost this winter for overflow?
Yeah, well, at least the budget that we submitted in this plan is, you know, 6.36 million.
Okay. Yeah, and we've got 2 million, so we got $4 million.
Yeah. I hope there are some rabbits and some hats someplace.
Well, I mean, there I think we have some options to see in there. I think we have some options, but you know, we're gonna have to work through that. As far as Carol is concerned, so part of Carol's problem was, for whatever reason, I'm not going to get into the reasons because I don't know what they are exactly, and that she missed an opportunity for some county housing funds, and that left her short $2 million, and the county process closed or wasn't accepting any more applications, and what she was hoping for, probably finished her project if she could have got those funds through the county housing funds, and now is left in this shortfall. So, you know, we would like to help I think I've probably identified at least $1 million that we could use, but we're still would be short $1 million with that. Plus, you know, you got this $4 million plus gap in what it's going to take to run winter. Fortunately, I think, Mayor, we also have been working with the providers, and we see that we can kind of mesh this together so that we take some existing funding and other funding and try to streamline that so that we can reduce the total amount of the ask because we're combining these services and save a couple million or a few million dollars. So that's something we're actually working on behind the scenes because we know what it's going to take. Now, I don't know exactly what facilities you've come up with. I've kind of seen what you've come up with. It looks like it's something that we've been thinking about also. And we're actually working on how we can fund that at least through June 30th next year.
Okay. Well, that sounds like, I mean, that's at least more encouraging than I thought it was going to be. So let's keep working on that.
Well, we have to figure this out or going to be, and you know, this is not going to be a happy situation.
Agreed.
Thank you.
But I feel optimistic at this point that we'll get to a pretty good place through all of this.
Thank you, Wayne. And Mayor Silvestri, I think Mayor Hall had a question. Who's the backup at Switchpoint? Can't do it.
So we don't know that yet. We're going to have to discuss that because we had figured based upon the discussions that we had that Switchpoint was going to do it. And we knew that that West Valley was Mayor Lang. I don't know if Mayor Lang is on or not, but they were satisfied with Switchpoint as being the operator as well. So that's something we have to look into if we can't make that work.
Okay, thank you. And then Doug Hill asked a question about the VOA detox. Is it for men or women or both?
I think that's for both, but I mean, I see Catherine nodding her head, so.
Okay, it's for both, thank you. And then Tawny had a comment just about the code blue, and you can read that in the chat about the temperature. But is there any other questions about the overall picture? And my clarification. So if we were to approve this today, then the work just begins on the funding and the VOA.
Yeah, that and nailing down the make sure we have an operator.
And yes, right. Those three critical pieces. Okay.
And Tawny, I welcome your ad. I mean, if you, I see what you put in the chat, and I'm okay with talking about that. There is some statutory language about that, I believe, but you know, we can clearly talk about that.
Yeah, and I'm happy to work with someone on it. First of all, Alta looked beautiful. The mayor sent me many pictures, and he mentioned that he brought this up. And as I talked to him about his concerns, he may have shared with you the code blue language is quite controversial in our community, regardless of what he supports or doesn't support. You know, he feels an obligation to listen to the community members. And that's kind of where his concern about code blue is coming from. We also talked a little bit about.
Can you be a little more specific about what his concern, what the concern in your community is?
Yeah, they are really upset about it. We have, it's an election season in our city, ta-da. And we have some candidates who've made a pretty big deal about like the camping abatement and some of the code blue issues. You know, obviously we all worked together on the language last legislative session, but the mayor is getting a lot of pushback on that. And so to move from what's required in ordinance to, you know, an even higher temperature is a little bit of a challenge for him right now, just because of the residents in our community. However, we obviously understand the health risks and the concerns. So, we're just trying to kind of find a middle ground where we recognize that and call on communities to encourage and activate plans at that temperature as opposed to 15 degrees. We'd feel really comfortable with that kind of language. And then we also feel like it will help us with some of the community organizations we reach out to, because they tend to feel a little bit better about we're stepping up and going above and beyond as opposed to feeling just some sort of legal obligation. So we actually think we may get better commitment from our community members if we tell them, like, hey, we're encouraging you to do this at 25 degrees because that's a crucial point with people. What's required by law is 15, but we want to go the extra mile as a community. And we may be able to kind of flip the conversation by using language like this. So that's why I've suggested it. Certainly open to anything anybody else has to say, but we felt like it was a way to include the 25 degrees without a firm commitment.
And I let me say this, and other mayors who are at COM speak up if I get this wrong, but I think that our sense on that was that we probably prefer to make the 25 degree temperature an aspirational thing that we will attempt to react to and activate, like this church network thing that I've talked about, but that we don't really want to rope ourselves into legal requirements. And there are also consequences of raising to 25 degrees in terms of the expense of everything, because of the staffing that would be required if we don't do it. I mean, we know we're going to handle part of that in resource centers and places where we're paying people to staff that rather than volunteer. So the expense is going to go up if we raise that temperature, and that, you know, that's a concern. And then the other thing we talked about was, you know, is every day going to be code blue? Because in January and February in the Salt Lake Valley, it's not uncommon to have, you know, low temperatures in that 25 degree range or below for, you know, 60 days straight, you know? So my sense is we would rather stick with the 15 degrees and then have an aspirational program to, you know, step in with the volunteer stuff at 25 degrees, see how that works. And that's something that we negotiated in session too, so.
And everybody just, you know, that the language 15 degrees came from Maryland and their code blue language. And, you know, that they probably don't get quite as cold as we do here. But they chose 15. And I think this has been articulated probably many times. I've tried to articulate it as our winter response plan, it covers everything down to 15. But when we get 15, you're going to get more people wanting to get into shelter. That's when you have more of an emergency. But, you know, of course, very open to conversations about, you know, what that temperature should be. But that's the thought process during the session and in the bill.
Here's my thought on temperature. I think for an inaugural year, let's establish a baseline. That's 15. People can always try to do more. But I'm also wondering what the mechanism to communicate that we're all working off the same information, and maybe something initiates a, you know, a 25 degree warning saying, hey, if available, if you have groups available, time to mobilize them, or if there's a, you know, cold forecast. But at 15 degrees, that every city manager, every emergency manager, that there's somebody to standardized in all our communities that shares this information. So community groups, administration, police, fire, everybody knows the protocols that go into place. So I think the to have a standard response or alert system is going to be very important, so that we're all working off of the same information, same, you know, weather expectations. And it might be 15 degrees in Ogden, but it might be 40 degrees in Draper. So that information exchange is going to be really important. And I think emergency management is going to be key in that.
Mayor Walker, I'm sure, agrees that the weather is always better in Draper, but
it's always colder in Ogden.
Yeah.
And Brett, did you have a question?
Yeah, thank you. The Detox Center, is that Volunteers of America? Do we know?
Yes.
Okay, so that we have a women's shelter in Murray. That's is that one of them that will be involved? Or no?
Yeah, they have a facility they've just built.
They have a, besides the one you're talking about, the one we have in Murray. Gotcha. Thanks, Jeff.
Sure.
Mayor Silvestrini, your aspirational language, would that be just included in this report also? Just added to the current report?
We haven't added that yet, but we certainly can do that. I mean, that's something that we knew we needed to decide today about whether we're going to 15 or 25. So we can submit this based upon what this group decides. You know, so I don't know who's going to fashion an appropriate motion on that. But I think we need a motion from COG to talk about the fact that, I mean, maybe what it is that we're going to stick with 15 degrees, but we have an aspirational goal of expanding it to 25 if we can do it and in an orderly way. And I think Mayor Zoltansky's point is well taken, that we should be looking to try to standardize or make this uniform so that the unsheltered have expectations there, and also we can react and perform accordingly. But I don't know how to exactly word that, but I sense that's where we're coming toward.
Right. Yeah, thank you. I agree. And I think Mayor Zoltansky's comments, maybe, I don't know if you add that in the language here, that an action to us is to come up with that response, or how do we get the message out quickly and where the message goes? Because if Ogden and Draper or Sandy have different temperatures, do we put an action here to ourselves to come up with that plan on the activation of the Code Blue? Is that, would that be in this plan, or would that be, that would come after this plan?
So, you know, in terms of writing up that kind of a standard, that has to obviously come after the plan, because we need to adopt something today. But I think we can commit to do that. And really, that's more of an operational thing than a plan thing. And also, to the extent that it's an aspirational to increase the temperature, it's not required by the state law. So this would be something that we would be doing almost in addition to that.
Okay.
And Wayne, you know, you can shush me if I'm wrong about that.
Oh, no. In fact, we actually put in language that's the baseline. So if people want to do something above that, because Ogden had a 25 degree temperature already for Code Blue, so we didn't want to interfere with what they were doing.
Yeah.
Okay, so
I think it's more of an operational kind of, we can augment it, and once we get a handle on an alert system or an information sharing system, I think putting it in now, we might create more problems than we are solving. But I don't think that anybody who is willing to, you know, host a handful or a dozen people overnight in a church or in a community center would argue with over 15 or 25, but it does set requirements, and it also opens spaces that might not otherwise be open. It also dramatically increases the likelihood of those Code Blue nights from going from sometimes in the deep winter to almost all winter. So I'd like to reserve that jump to 25 for more of an operational guideline or a directional or, you know, some intent mission statement. But to get this passed today to meet the August deadline, Why don't we just keep it at the baseline 15 degrees? And then as we move forward with some of these other questions answered, we can plug in a 25. And I don't think anybody would object to including that if possible.
Is that a motion, Mayor Zoltansky?
Okay. Yeah, I'll make that motion to approve it with the 15 degree Fahrenheit temperatures outlined in HB 499 as the baseline standard. And then expect that there may be an operations guidelines for alerts and opportunities to implement a 25 degree Fahrenheit option if possible.
Thank you, Mayor. We'll take that as a motion. And do we have a second with that motion?
I'll second. This is Mayor Lang.
Thank you, Mayor Lang. And just a shout out, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed?
No, but Councilmember Stroud, who's a voting member, has messaged me on the road, so her signal is not strong, but she also supports this. She would be an aye. I'll have her proxy.
Thank you. So Mayor, we have a motion to keep the language in the code blue, as Mayor Zoltansky said. Now, on the big picture, the whole report, I would like to look for a motion to approve the Winter Overflow Task Force plan.
I'll make a motion to approve the Salt Lake County Winter Response Plan as presented today.
This is Dawn Ramsey. I'll second that.
I have a motion from Mayor Silvestrini, a second from Mayor Ramsey. Any further discussion on this point? Seeing none, hearing none, all in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Hearing no opposed, that passes unanimously also for the COG. So I think, Thank you very much.
Mr. Chair, I just want to thank again everybody who worked on this, and particularly Catherine Fife and Ashley, who did a yeoman service, and there are other people who had input in this, the league through Molly Wheeler and Michelle Flynn. I know there probably were others that contributed to this, but thanks to all of everybody who helped. So.
And Brett Hales here. I just want to pass on that I agree. And I have never heard Jeff Silvestrini speak so fast. Great job.
Yeah, this is a wonderful afternoon. Thank you very much, everybody, for participation and all the great work. I look forward to making this a reality in the near future. So thank you again. And we're adjourned.
Oh, motion to adjourn.
Second.
Second.
All right, guys. Motion to adjourn in a second. All in favor?
Aye.
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 All right. That motion passes. We're adjourned. Have a great day.
Thank you.